All right, guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and CrossFit Games. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Greg Morrison. Happy to be back. Happy to be week five of the Open. Kind of just flew by this year, but same time, how have you been? I'm kind of ready for it to be done.
I'm in the same boat, my friend. I feel like this workout or this year has gone by really quickly, but I don't know, just the stresses of the Open, managing your affiliate, keeping track of your competitors, and, you know, just the kind of pressures of it. It's nice to have it kind of wrapping up. 5 weeks is long enough.
Yeah, 5 weeks is a good window. I can tell people start to drum roll a little bit about wanting to get back to training. I hear that a lot. I think that's kind of something that people say because it's being said, right, just to say it. Because honestly, the Open is a really, really special time of the year for affiliates because everybody gets to be an athlete. A lot of people don't think of themselves as athletes, but if your gym organizes a night, you know, like where everybody shows up and watches, you get an audience, right? I mean, like, you're basically on a competition stage in your own gym, and that doesn't happen that often. So to have it 5 weeks in a row, yeah, maybe you get a little bit tired of the stress and the anxiety, but it's also that's the cost of competing, you know?
I agree. I mean, I think that that Friday nights can become a little daunting and a little stressful for some people, though, when you do a week on it, you know, week after week. And so I think that's really what's the hard part for some people.
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of did a rerun last week, and we looked at was a repeat, but just to get people up to date on the BTB showdown between Ben and Blair, Ben has taken a commanding lead after weeks 3 and 4 of the Open. The heavy snatch and the handstand push-ups, he's now clearly in front. 2-1, and then the one tie. 3-2.
Yeah, I have not been on, so we're recording this on Thursday, 17.5 day. I have not looked at the leaderboard not one time since last Wednesday.
Since last Wednesday?
So 8 days.
Oh, so you didn't see what the results of this last workout were?
No.
You're aware.
Yeah, people told me, hey, Ben, good job. You're in like 6th or 7th place or something in the region. You look good this year. I literally don't know the difference. I don't know if I'm 6th or 7th. Because I think people are like, hey, dude, I think you're in like 7th or maybe 8th. And somebody's like, oh, no, you're in 6th. And somebody's like, I don't even really know. So I have not looked.
You're pretty proud of that then, huh? Just kind of staying relaxed and keep perspective.
That's
eye on the prize.
That's it. You know, and I've had a hard time with that in years past. If you listen to last week's show, which is really a year in last week's show, I talked about doing 16.4 three times. And in fact, getting my best score on 16.4, doing it a second time in the same day. Right? So, this year I was 1-0 with that workout. In fact, the only workout is 1-0. It's only I've done every workout twice. You know, trying to learn more from this, trying to get better, trying to get more set up.
You already done this workout 3 times.
I've done it 3 times, now I've done it 4, and I'm like, you know what? That's good. I have a nagging hamstring thing that didn't flare up from it, and so I was like, you know, I think that was a win. Yard by 2 reps.
I wonder if that's kind of a common phenomenon get towards the end of the Open. People's positions are somewhat established, and you can always commit with it. What Gabe super calls being born suicide, you really have a bad workout, but I think for some of the top athletes, the guys that are in the top 10 going into the final week, you're going to expect to be in the top 20 after this workout, no matter what. So that's something that doesn't have double for some crazy reason. So I feel like the pressure is off a little bit for a lot of those people. Now, that's not the case if you are down somewhere close to my position, right? I'm in 28th, I think.
Okay.
So that's right on that fringe where if you have a good workout, you can jump into the top 20. If you have a bad workout, you can drop down into like the 30s or 40s. You know, I'm going to be going team, so it doesn't really matter for me. But if somebody's going individual is in that position, there's a lot of pressure on this workout. They're going to really have to go for it.
Yeah, at this point, what do you think the most spots somebody can make up in a single workout really is? I mean, if somebody has a stellar workout, do you think that they can... They can take themselves from like a 40 something athlete to an on the bubble athlete.
It depends on the point spread, you know. Like so, like last year, Jen Monroe took 5th in the region on that final workout, thrust and burpees.
Yeah.
She vaulted up like 20 spots.
Right.
So So it just depends on how close the spread is. I think it's realistic for someone to make up 60 points. 60 okay. points. So, like, say, if you're 60 points out of 20th, you can get that. You have a really great one out.
Okay.
Because there's a chance that there could be 60 people between you and that person. Or all those people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I had, my last 2 or 3 weeks, I had decent showings, and I was 60th, 68th, you know? I didn't bomb those workouts. I really bombed a workout, you get 100 points. Like, that's what you're talking about, where you have a really big...
Oh, yeah. I know that position well.
Yeah, you've been there.
I've been there before. So, where you're really relying on other people to go team, or other people to do bad on a workout, or other people to opt out of divisions ahead of you in order to make it to regional. So, but you know what? If you're already out on the outside looking in, and you can find yourself now hoping that a few people go team, or hoping that a few people bomb a workout, it's kind of a nice place to be. It just sucks to go the other way, right? If you're already in a controlling position, and then you're like, oh, I went back the other way.
Right, that sucks.
Yeah.
Watch, refresh, falling, refresh, falling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what I had to do last year, so I think that's why I'm like, I almost open the leaderboard, and I automatically get stressed. Like, today, I went to the games page because I had to look at something for another athlete, but it wasn't the leaderboard, and I just was trying to check the actual date for regionals. And just going to that page and that format, I was like, ooh, I can feel my blood pressure kind of go up a little bit. And I was like, you know what? Ugh, I don't like this. I'm not even going to check the leaderboard.
Well, I'll give you an update. On the team side, CrossFit Anywhere is one spot ahead of CrossFit Iron Mile. 5 points, I think.
So I told Steph this. This is my wife, for you guys who for some reason don't know that. But I told my wife, I said, the only reason I want to go team is to see if we could beat Tie-Dye Nation at regionals. I said that's the main reason I want to go team at this point. That's the biggest draw for me to go away from individual to team right now. But of course, I'm not going to do that this year.
Don't waste your time. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You know what? I won't speak. Since I won't step to the plate and actually do it, I'll just say, you know what? You're probably right. So
I'm confident in our team's chances at regionals. We got a good squad.
You know, you guys do have a really good team, and to be one spot ahead of our team is because I know how talented our team is. It shows what a good job you guys have done executing and doing something. So.
And we had kind of a bad, we had that snatch workout, man. We did not show up. So, anyways,
I feel like you guys did really well for you. I feel like even though it was a bad workout for you, it was actually your best performance by far.
So moving on,
I expect you to take a lot more points.
I shouldn't even have brought it up. Let's talk about this week's workout.
Okay.
That's why people are tuning in to this show. They want to know how we can maximize performance on thrusters and dumbbells. So it's lightweight, right? Yeah. It's a Fran weight, 95-65. 9 reps per round. So it's the final round of Fran, right? But
right.
For 10 rounds.
Right.
Do you see any hiccup there? Is there any reason for somebody to break up those 9 reps?
Well, I mean, to the people who are on our level, you know, or, you know, anywhere near the training volume that you and I have, or the people in our teams have, no, I don't really think there's any reason to break those up. I think that if there's somebody out there who finishes a set of double-unders, and those double-unders are really, really taxing on them, and they want to not spend too much time recovering, they might grab the bar a little early and do a set of 5, back off and do a set of 4. For the most part, though, I think what you're alluding to is the fact that you're going to have to hang on to the ball. You know what I mean? Like, the first set of 9 on this round of 1, not going to be that bad. The round of 5, be a little bit worse. And the round of 10, you can get them done. You just got to be willing to hurt a little bit more. So, the round 10 of doing 9, you have to hurt a little bit more. So, I don't really think there's many reasons to break that up. If you're an RX athlete, if you are somebody in that top, you know, 400 or 500 in the region, I think that you can hang on to that bar.
Yeah, I'm going to put it this way. If you're an RX athlete, there's no strategic advantage to use off of the bar.
No, it's definitely not strategic, right? It's you're limited because of your capacity.
Right. So go into this workout thinking that you're going to do the thrusters and burpees. That should be your plan.
Yeah.
If you're an RX athlete. If you're a scaled athlete or you're someone who, you know, knows that barbell is something you cannot do physically 9 times, then you have to make adjustments there. But if you're an RX athlete, you're probably going to be able to do that 9 times in a row, and that should be your plan going in. I really think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes of this later. Or maybe 5 rounds. Probably 5 rounds later. And just see what it feels like. I'm anticipating a lot of shoulder burn. Like, I feel like that's going to kind of be the thing in this. Is how much muscle endurance you have in your shoulders. I don't know. 35 double unders. I don't think that spikes your heart rate too much. I don't know. What did the girls look like on the live feed?
They did not look that bad. It looked like they were kind of riding the line, because for them it's like that kind of funny balance of wanting to go fast and also not wanting to trip up on the double under, right? Knowing that one trip up costs you, you know, 6 or 7 double unders, so somebody's going to sail right past you, maybe more, right? If you don't reset fast enough. So they were just like right on that line where they were just kind of pushing it. So I don't know, but at the end of it, they weren't like totally smoked.
Right, it's not like the burpee.
Oh gosh, no.
Dumbbell snatch, everybody's laid out.
No.
It's not that kind of cardio.
This is not going to be as painful as any workout in the open, in my opinion. Right?
Any workout this year?
This year, yeah. I feel like 17.1 was very painful. And I ended on 15.
Yeah, that might be botchable.
Right? And I guess maybe 17.2 is maybe more painful if you finished on like the power clean and lunge, because you just could just move that too. And then 17.3, I guess that could be a little bit less painful than this workout, right? And then for some reason, I don't know why, 17.4 was just way worse in terms of how it made me feel rather than last year.
I mean, just the same thing, you're better than the deadlifts, you're going.
Yeah, so I guess, it's not necessarily true for everybody, but this workout could be very painful because of the 90 thrusters. So I think I should take that back.
So it is 90, so it's 90 thrusters and 350 double unders that we're looking at doing. So we're looking at the general population, it's a double under workout, right? It's a double under workout. Can you do your double unders or not? If you can't, you're going to spend a lot of time staring at the rope. It's not going to be a very painful workout. It's just going to be a super frustrating workout.
Right.
But for the more competitive athletes, I think this is a shoulder burning workout. This is a muscle endurance thing. How efficiently do you like process that blood lactate? Can you get right back? Can you go from bar to rope without taking big breaks?
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of people who are going to wonder why it hurts so bad, because they're not used to running workouts with that kind of interference. You know, like last year, sure, there was thrusters and burpees, which was a lot of shoulders, but like burpees is like, you know, that body weight movement that kind of just takes everything out of you. Or, you know, 15.5 was a push and a pull, right? Bram is a push and a pull. So there's not as the same type of interference that there is in this workout in my opinion. So
you think, yeah, okay.
For the shoulder itself.
The shoulders, yeah.
I don't mean anything else in terms of heart rate or anything else. So I think people are gonna like feel like, why are my shoulders hurting so badly?
Right, they're going to be annoyed at it.
Right. You're doing all the little muscles, the little fast twitch muscles are going to get it in the double under, and then your thrusters are going to just fill up those delts with blood, the triceps with blood, forearms are going to feel filled with blood, like that whole...
All right, so how do we mitigate that? What are some tricks that people can go into this workout with to try to limit the amount of shoulder pump they're going to feel?
If you get a double cortisone injection into both shoulders before you go,
that's the optimum scenario.
Yeah, frozen peas on the shoulders before you go. You won't necessarily perform that well, and you might risk pulling something. But
what about like super compression shirts?
Yeah, there you go.
Bench shirts,
right? Bench shirts. Throw a Mark Bell slingshot on somehow. Right. You know, fasten it some way to your whatever. You know what? I think on this. One thing is, and you see it, people will hold their breath when they do double unders, when they're trying to make that rope spin and keep their arm tight enough to create that width on the rope. If they're holding their breath, that means they're tightening up their upper body, right? The diaphragm, the core, and that's going to spike their heart rate. It's going to force them to, like you said, they can't process anything that's happening in their body as quickly that way. And they're going to get to the thruster, and a lot of people at the bottom of the thruster are holding their breath also. So they're going to just constantly spiking the heart rate. So I think the really important thing here is to maintain, like a breathing pattern throughout both movements, right? Where you're breathing, like you don't actually think about holding your breath at any point.
So, trying to stay relaxed.
Yeah, you're trying to stay relaxed. So you see it in a lot of movements. People do burpees, wall balls, rowing, and they hold their breath at some point in the movement. And I think it's really important that you actually are making sure there's either an inhale happening or an exhale happening. There is no holding your breath.
What do you think about kind of relaxing your grip at the top of the thruster, right? I know you see a lot of people are going to that suicide grip where your thumb is now wrapped around. It allows you to kind of open your hands a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe even go, do you think going at a slower pace on the thrusters is worth it? Or do you think these should be like breakneck, get them done as fast as possible?
I think it's going to depend on what kind of athlete you have. I mean, it's getting super technical, right? But if somebody's a little bit more of like that kind of faster, quicker twitch athlete, like that work rest ratio, you might want to sprint them a little bit and then take 3 or 4 extra seconds walking to your rope slowly, right? And then picking up and doing your double unders fast. Like, but if you're one of those people who has like a decent engine, you have some cardio built up, I think just smooth as fast, right? Breathe and move the whole time.
Don't miss.
Yeah, I think that what's going to spike my heart rate the most is bending over to pick up my rope after the first 7 times thrusters, you know what I mean? Right, and just lifting my head.
Right.
You know? So.
You know, one thing that I see people do incorrectly on thrusters is they drop their elbows, right? So even though the weight's light, most people are going to be able to throw it around in the early rounds. I think thinking about it as if it were a front squat the entire time until you literally, you know, pump up on your toes to do the thruster, like keeping the elbows high that entire time is probably going to save your shoulders a little bit. You're not carrying that weight in your hands. So I mean, that's a small thing, but if you can think about that, it's going to give you, number one, it's going to give you something to think about other than how tired you are and how much your shoulders burn. It's going to give you an actual technical point to focus on, which always helps in a conditioning workout. But number two, it's just going to save arm energy for the double unders.
I think that's a big point right there is there some technical aspects of making sure the thruster is precise. That if you actually are mindful of what those points of performance are, it gives you something to think about in these longer or these deeper sets into the workout, right? And that's almost more critical than what you're actually doing is just having something to think about other than pain, right? People are all constantly just like, hey, my quads hurt so bad and they got to put it down, or my shoulders hurt so bad and they've got to put it down. But if you can just think like, you know, sit back, knees out, chest up, you know, elbows up, whatever, you know what I mean? It can keep you out of just that dark place where just all you're thinking about is pain.
Right. And if you have maybe a coach or judge there reminding you of those things, that can also help you.
Yeah. How great would it be if you had a coach who's just like, don't your quads look terrible right now?
That's what Felipe said, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so
I feel like if Felipe was my judge, he'd be saying that to me right now.
No, he's not. Let's talk about, all right, so we talked about the workout. We talked about some tips for it. I think this is the kind of workout that people are going to do multiple times because if you have a couple slip-ups on something like a double under, you're like, hey, I didn't give my best showing. So I would be worried a little bit because it is 90 thrusters. So that's not the most volume you've seen in a workout. You know, I think last year's workout had 84 thrusters plus all the 84 burpees. I would think that's more damaging than this. So I'm not going to say don't redo it, but just make sure you're ready. Your legs are going to need some time to recover before you race again.
What do you think as far as warm-up, you know? You're a master's athlete now in the category above myself. What do you think about for warm-up? I mean, is this a workout that you spend a lot of time warming up for, mobilizing for? You know, what should athletes be trying to do before they attack this workout?
Honestly, I think you need to mobilize your front rack, right? We're just talking about keeping the elbows up. Like, roll your triceps, roll your lats, make sure your forearms are stretched out so you have a good, comfortable front rack that's not under tension. Hips, so you can drop into a squat easily without falling forward. You know, if you have to fight for reps to stay on balance, that's just energy you don't need to waste. I do find that when people feel good on their thrusters, they can kind of just hit the bottom and bounce right back up. When they don't, they're kind of like resisting on the way down.
Yeah.
And that's slow and takes energy.
Yeah.
You're fighting it both ways. So I would say front rack and hips. That's what I would go with. Your calves, I mean, do some jumping jacks, you know, do some single unders. I don't think you really need to mobilize calves,
right?
Unless you're the type of person that pulls calf muscles.
Yeah.
Calf muscles.
Right.
We need to talk about that. What about calf muscles? It could happen.
It could happen.
Not to me.
Not to me either. I've been running way too much lately.
I'll tell you what is going to happen to you. I think it hit you with this touch and go presented by Fitted.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You have not seen these questions.
I have not seen the questions.
All right, I just want to remind our listeners that Fitted is the official recovery beverage of CrossFit Games and the CrossFit Open, right? They're offering Toucan inclusive. All you got to pay is the shipping, 99 cents. You guys go to lifemadebevco.com/BTB. You guys are going to get your two free cans of Fitted.
Dude, we got tagged in the post from some people who are doing this.
Love it.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
I don't think there's any limit per person.
No, there's not. Go do it.
Go do it over and over and over again. And they got that new creatine beverage coming out pretty soon. I can't wait to have some of that. Pumped. Chilled creatine beverage.
Crazy.
Who knew, Ben? Just blew up to like 205. What if we get weighed the same at regionals? Do you gotta get tested for steroids?
No. How are you still so weak? Hey, once you can clean and jerk 310 together, you know, put the clean and the jerk together.
I got that one.
All right.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who has the fastest double unders in CrossFit?
Ooh. Fastest.
Think, Ben. Think. I don't know the answer.
Josh Bridges?
You think it would be someone like that, right?
Yeah, a little engine and shorter than most people. Yeah. I was thinking of Carl Webb. By the way, I did call Carl Webb winning that workout. It's not going out. I called that. He said, who would be faster, a man or a woman? And I said, probably a man, unless Carl Webb.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly that.
All the men had the fastest time except for
anyway, today top five or whatever we're doing. It's
touch and go, bro.
Touch and go.
Fastest double unders in CrossFit, you think it's Josh Bridges? You don't think there's a girl out there that's got faster double unders? I feel like there's some sneaky female athletes that used to be on like a jump rope team, you know, at one point and just have crazy fast double unders.
I know Samantha Briggs did really well on the snatch double under workout and had the fastest or the most reps for that workout. You know, the 15 power snatch 30 doves.
Right, yeah.
I think she got like 12 rounds or something ridiculous like that, right? So, I don't know.
Maybe her.
Yeah, maybe her. I mean, as far as the sport goes, they're the fastest.
All right, question number two. Of the 8 super regionals that are out there, which one are you most looking forward to seeing go down? Obviously, the California region notwithstanding, you're going to be competing in that.
Yeah.
So obviously, you're going to be very interested in what goes on there. But outside of our region, which athletes are you most interested in seeing throw down? Okay, like historically, Central East has been a really fun region because it had Dan Bailey, Panshake, Rich, all those guys, Graham.
Yeah.
What's the region you're looking forward to seeing this year?
I don't know. I think it's a good, I'm putting on a different hat now. I'm putting on the podcast host hat. You know,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and
instead of doing a podcast,
I don't put it on very often, but. You know, the lay of the land has changed, I feel like, dramatically. I feel like, in Africa region right now, so I think he's going to be competing in Europe, is Rasmus. Right? Rasmus in Africa right now, right? So it's like, you have, you have Jacob Heppner who got injured, who can't compete this year. You have, all these different things happening around. Marcus Philly's not competing in California. Australia, the Pacific region started to blossom and have like some good athletes come out of there. And so, I mean, really, man, like I'm excited to see every region. I can't really put a thumb or a finger on any region that I'm excited to watch. And I'll be honest, like that's not a cop out. That's just like my honest answer.
Well, that's a predictably lame response. I didn't ask you to take the high road there.
I never take the high road. I always take the low road and bag on anybody I can. But this year, I want to see all the athletes. I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm really excited to see, to be really honest. I'm excited to see what happens with the online qualifier for the new 35 to 39-year-old division. I'm excited to see what happens.
Well, I will let you know because I will be participating in that.
Oh, right.
You can come do the workouts with me.
Okay.
Good training for you.
At elevation.
I'll just inject a couple of potential regions that might be interesting to watch. The European regional for the women, always exciting.
Always.
Rivalry for the Icelandic girls. Sarah is not there now. So what does that open up? Who is going to be the woman that's coming out of Europe instead?
What Icelander is going to take her spot?
Exactly.
Right?
Sam is in that region, right?
Yep.
She's back.
She's back.
She's not there. Or she was there last year. Or she was hurt last year. Anyways.
So she was there last year for regionals.
That's one. That'd be very exciting. Second one would be the Northwest, right? Which is kind of a coming up region with young guys like Cody Anderson. You got Fikowski coming back after the top five finish, talking all sorts of shit online. So it's going to be fun to see. I would just want to follow their feed.
Cole Sagers in that region.
Cole Sagers in that region. He's just been top 10 the last 2 years. And very different approaches to workouts, right? Cole is very methodical.
Yep.
Not flashy. Whereas I think Fikowski is either he's winning workouts or he's back in the pack. So that'll be fun to watch. Anyways, moving on. This is a question number three on the Fitted Touch and Go deck. I think you're going to be much better answering.
Okay.
Did you see Dave Castro 17.5 win?
Yes, I did.
A knife into a steak?
Yes.
What did that clue mean? Now you know the workout. You've seen the clue. Translate that clue into this workout. Tell me how what he was alluding to with that picture.
Well, I think he was alluding to the double in double under. That's it.
The double?
Yeah, because it's like the meat is already dead, but now it's been stabbed. So it's like you're killing it twice. So it's been doubly killed. So there's your double under.
Oh, man.
Or it's been killed twice, so now it's a couplet. So it's two movements, right? I don't know. I mean, who knows, right? I thought I had it figured out. I thought it was like that the meat was fresh and uncooked. So it was like a like newer athletes are going to struggle with this workout. So it was going to be like a muscle up, a ring muscle up. You know, it was just going to be a real separator, you know?
Nope.
I thought that the almond clusters he posted like 3 weeks before the open on his Instagram story were not just what he was eating. I thought it was a clue into one of the movements in the open.
Clusters.
And so I thought it would be clusters and ring muscle ups. Just to totally change it up. And I was wrong.
Yeah, I think everybody's wrong. There's nobody knows what he has. All right, number four. Now that the Open is coming to a close, does it really mean anything for CrossFit Games athletes? You know, can we take anything away from their performances? Like, you look at the top of the women's leaderboard, you see Camille is way up there. Does that mean she is like going to make a run this year, or is it still just the Open?
I think it matters. I think it shows and projects really well the trends that we'll see for the rest of the season. The names you see at the top of the leaderboard at the end of this week will be similar to the names you see at the CrossFit Games, right? And I think the names you see at the top of the regional board might be slightly different. When we're talking about the world and the amount of points you can gather from one workout and doing poorly at it, if you're towards the top of that board, you are literally one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
So,
I used to think that it really didn't matter,
right?
But
it may not even matter to them, right? Like, it's just that's just the reality. They're just that good.
Yeah. No matter what the competition stage is, you see the same name up there. And it's for a reason.
Yeah.
All right, final question, number five. Where does the 2017 Open rank from a programming perspective in your eyes? Say this is the best Open we've ever had, the worst Open we've ever had, somewhere in the middle. Think about all the workouts, if you put them together, where's this rank as a test of fitness?
Well, I don't want to give a personal answer and say they all have their own little great things about them. I won't do it.
Stab me with a knife. Look at that piece of meat. Good for you.
I think this year's Open, because it's the first one in my mind, I would say it ranks near the top. Interestingly, the dumbbell was annoying as an affiliate owner, but as an athlete, it provided a new test that was really, really good. I like the fact that at the beginning of the Open, you had the
which is a lot of arm movement, right? And you had, at the end, you have 90 thrusters, which is more than we had, unless you did the ladder, you know, a couple years ago. There's a lot of thrusters there, you know, just to finish the workout. Right? Let me just escape that, you know, 45 thrusters, right? The activity, right? So I think in some ways it's good. I love the fact that the squats and the activity this year is my favorite movement in fitness. Memory to say it's the best. I just am not that smart. I forget everything about 30 minutes after it happens. What do you think?
I think it's near the top. I love last year's open up until the final workout.
Yeah, we talked about that, right? The last workout was underwhelming.
Yeah. So I would say it's an improvement from that because it's a new test we have now. It's a better than last year. And I love last year. I thought the test this year pretty well rounded. I have a squat that's a huge change. I think it's a very difficult to do, especially when you're getting a lot of power transfer by squats. So that's just kind of raising the bar, so to speak. Big major complaints I've heard. People didn't like the fact that we've done those 2 weeks in a row, but I didn't mind that. That was good.
Right.
People wanted to see.
I would agree with that.
For the most variety, smartest, you know, start to finish. And we've had some really fun workouts in there, not just all slaughtering you. That's what it used to be like. Every workout just killed you.
It's just not like that anymore, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree. I know that we talked about last year, especially about midway through the Open, this being a great Open, or it being a great Open. And then we both, when we talked about it on the podcast as well, we were underwhelmed by 16.5, which was really the only, you know, black eye on that year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I agree. I think these 2 years have been really good, with that exception.
Well, we'll see what happens this final week. I hope I beat you.
And then we'd be tied again?
Then we'd be tied again.
Mm-hmm. Now we get in the points, or?
Now we get the tiebreaker.
How come? Because you're older?
No, because of the tiebreaker on the workout we tied.
Oh.
And I'm older.
And you're older. Okay. Well, I thought the tiebreak would be, like, who's actually ahead on the leaderboard.
Well, no. You're definitely going to finish ahead on the leaderboard. I think you barely have over 100 points this year, which is really good.
I don't even know 100 points I have. I haven't been on.
I don't think it's much more than that. So.
Okay.
Anyways, make sure you guys follow us on social media, at B2B Podcast. Subscribe to these episodes. Don't just wait for them to show up, but be the first to get them. And make sure you go on to our page. Thank our sponsors, FitAid and Reebok. They're doing great things in the sport. And we look forward to seeing you guys soon.